You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. I can prove it. It's me. Who are you, though? Who are you? I don't care who you are. I really don't. Hey, pleasure to be here. This is the Friday weekend edition of the program. You know what that means? It's the Friday weekend edition of the program. President Trump is considering giving a pardon to Roger Stone, his good friend, who is to report to jail on Tuesday of this coming week. So Trump is considering the pardon. Pardon me, Don? Seriously? You think that's a good idea? Go on, do it, I dare you. Our world is in a crazy place, especially the stupid people in this country, man. We're going backwards. More cases of that virus thing than ever before in this country was yesterday. The highest number of cases at all, even since the beginning. Holy crap, man. What the hell? You know why? It's because you go to bars and you start drinking and then you let your guard down and you spread this thing and stupid presidents have rallies where they gather people with no masks sitting next to each other shouting and screaming. Yeah, smart country this is. But that's not why I'm here. I'm here to entertain you. I'm going to juggle some balls and spin some plates on sticks and you'll be thoroughly entertained. I'll do a little magic trick. It's an illusion, so on radio it makes no sense at all. But we'll have a good time anyway. Damn, I forgot my tip jar again. Oh, damn. One rule I have on the program is that all of us wear pants when I'm doing this. I'm wearing pants. I hope you are. I'm not sure. That's the only thing I require. I don't know if you love food like I love food. I love to talk about food. I'll tap strangers on the shoulder. Well, not these days. I have to say 6 feet away. But I used to tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, let's talk food. And the results were never good, especially with the women. Hey, baby, let's talk food. Oh, they did not like that. They didn't like being called baby, and they didn't like the gruff voice that I put on. And also, talking about food is not a good pickup line. I learned when I was a young adult. I learned a lot of stuff when I was a young adult. Everything I learned was packed into like 3 years, and it had nothing to do with going to school. It was getting out into the real world, looking for a job, having relationships. It was between the ages of, I'd say, 19 and 23 was my entire life packed in to a small amount of time, into 4 years. It's absolutely true. I did everything. I learned everything. I had every experience within 4 freaking years. And they were wonderful years. oh my God, how did I cram all that stuff into 4 years? But that was the crux of my life. Before the age of 19, nothing really. Couldn't drive, really couldn't drink. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was putting the left shoe on the right foot. I was putting my pants on over my head. It was like years before I figured that out, that was wrong. My parents were taking care of me. I didn't know what his responsibility was. I had no responsibility. I didn't know how to do anything. Horrible. Before the age of 19, nothing. Made mistakes all over the place. Wrong decisions. Bad decision, Ron. Bad decision. Hey, yeah, I know. 19, before that, horrible, horrible. Then turned 19, 23, everything wonderful happened. Learned everything was a teachable moment, as Obama would say. After 23, life became rather routine already. Yeah, you start to think about marriage and, you know, you got yourself a job already and you're winding down. You wake up in the morning and you don't feel as well as you did when you were 19, that kind of thing. And then after that, from, you know, 23 on, it's just like, all right, yeah. What is this, Thursday? It's Tuesday? Oh, my God, what the hell's the difference? I know. Anyway, I love to talk about food. Many of the guests I have on the program here are chefs, and I think they're just fascinating. Anyway, here's a story. And if you love food, you'll connect with me here. And I'm not talking about going to McDonald's and saying, I can't wait to have a Big Mac or go to Burger King, have a Whopper, or go to KFC and basically commit suicide intestinally. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about love of food, vegetables and meats and wonderful, creative, wonderful things. Anyway, last night, Thursday night, I get the circulars in the mail for all the supermarkets that are running their sale items beginning on Friday, which, you know, this is the Friday weekend show, so this makes sense. And I'm looking at one of the supermarkets called Shaw's Supermarkets. We have a chain of supermarkets in Massachusetts called Shaw's. Some guy named Shaw, I guess. The Shah of Iran. So it says in the circular, red peppers, yellow peppers, orange peppers, green peppers, 79 cents a pound. Oh, 79 cents. What are you, crazy? They're usually like anywhere from $1.99 to $3.99 a pound. 79 cents for fresh, all-colored peppers. The things I could do with that. Oh, the barbecues I could have on the skewers. The sautéed vegetables, the Chinese. Oh, I could use those peppers, and I could stuff the peppers right up my ass. I could do tons of things with the peppers. Oh, my God. As if that wasn't enough. Previously frozen cod. I don't know what that meant. Previously caught cod. It's not caught anymore. It was previously caught. $5.99 a pound. That's also a good deal. But 79 cents a pound for fresh peppers? Oh, my God. Here's how boring and horrible my life is under a pandemic. As soon as I saw that, I said, I closed my eyes, and I pictured myself going to the supermarket and getting these peppers, achieving them into my cart. And I actually planned, I went to bed early so I could get up early in the morning, be the first one in the supermarket to get those peppers. I actually planned this out for 79 cent a pound peppers. It sounds pathetic, but it's absolutely true. This is what I did. And if you love food and you're a latent chef like I am, you'll feel my excitement. You'll feel my burn. So I got up at 6 o'clock this morning, got into my car. I had envisioned all this before. Driving to the plane, envisioned this. So I get in the car and I go, here I am. I'm actually on my way to the supermarket to pick up these lovely peppers for 79 cents a pound. This is, oh my God. I was excited. I was excited about this. And as I'm doing it, I'm saying to myself, ooh, there's something wrong with you, Ron. So I get to the supermarket. I get out of the car. I can't wait to get out of the car, put on my silly little mask, and walk into the it's not silly, by the way. It's important. I walked into the supermarket, and I grabbed a cart, and I made a dash for the vegetable section. Oh, my God. And I get to, and in front of me, oh, I could hear angels and see halos all over the place. And in front of me, and I'm getting closer, is this large area where they have the fresh vegetables. And sitting there, a big, large sign, peppers, 79 cents a pound. It was true. I went to town. I filled my cart with peppers that'll probably rot within 3 days. But nonetheless, man, I got like 2 red peppers, 2 orange peppers, and 2 green peppers. And they also had English cucumbers for 90 cents each. Seriously? You guys are crazy with your prices. So I put them in my cart, and I'm on my way. This is all I was buying there. This is all I wanted. This is all I needed. It was my quest. It was my shroud of Jesus. It was like, whoa, the holy grail of vegetables. And I'm on my way to the checkout lane, and the checkout guy, his name is Dave. Nice guy, Dave. He knows me because he knows I love food. Dave says, how you doing, Ron? I said, fine. He says, oh, you got the peppers, huh? I said, yeah. He said, you having the peppers tonight? I said, yeah. And it was at that moment it struck me. I looked at myself. There was like a mirror nearby, and I could see myself in the mirror at the checkout lane. They have these big mirrors so the cashiers can see how long the line is and stuff. And I looked up in the mirror, and there I was standing there with these peppers. And I looked in the mirror, and all of a sudden everything stopped. It was like being in a car, and all of a sudden you're hitting the brakes, and it screeches to a stop. And I looked in that mirror, and I looked at myself with these peppers, and I said to myself, what the hell happened to you, man? What kind of turn did you take in life where you're actually excited about buying these peppers for 79 cents a pound? Why am I close to orgasm based on these peppers? What's wrong with me? I got so excited about buying these peppers the day before. I mean, it was an adventure, a quest. And yet, if my significant other says, like, let's have sex right now, I'll say, okay, that's fine. We can do that. What's wrong with me? So Dave put the peppers in the Shaw's bag, gave me the bag, and said, have a good day, Ron. And I said, well, thank you. I think I just had an epiphany. And he said, oh, my God, do you want sanitary wipes? And I said, no, that's not what that means, Dave. I had a realization about myself. Oh, really? What was that, Ron? I don't know. Something's not right. I'm getting excited about all the wrong things. It was this damn social experiment virus thing. It's tilted me in the wrong direction. Nonetheless, tonight I will be enjoying those peppers in some way, shape, or form. I think I'm going to stuff them. Yes, it's going to be quite a night. If you love food, I know you followed me every single word. You were salivating through this whole story. If you don't as much as I do, I've just bored the hell out of you for 14 minutes. But that's my goal.
Ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again for Ron's Fact of the Day.
The fact is, we're not doing so well. I'm not going to talk about this for very long, but I think it's my social responsibility to smack you in the face. Maybe not you, but all the human beings around you. This country, as I think I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I don't even remember where, this country is doing worse than ever as far as handling this pandemic. The highest number of positive cases in this country ever in one day. And I mean ever since this whole thing started, like went from zero to this. And it's because the bars are open and because people are walking around without masks. And we're going backwards. Things are going to start shutting down. You stupid idiots who don't wear masks, who go to large gatherings and get close to people, who go to bars and have a few drinks and then get very touchy-feely. And you people are ruining it. The hospitals are more full than they ever have been, in the South especially, in general, in California, where people gather. Nice weather, people getting close to each other, figuring, well, I didn't get it yet, I guess no one's going to get it. No, man, we're still in the middle of it, and it's getting worse because of our stupidity. You can try as hard as you can to be the good person and wear the mask and be careful where you go and think twice and wash your hands all the time and being absolutely fine by following the rules and the suggestions and the guidelines. Or you can be an asshole led by a major asshole. And that's a fact. Things are not getting better. They're getting worse. But not because the virus got worse. It's because we got stupider and we got more careless and we got too political. And it's not a left or a right. It's not a Republican. It's a Democrat. It's not that. It's stupid against people with common sense. Wear your freaking mask, will you please? And when you don't, stay away from other people. Einstein. Okay, fine. I have a great guest coming up a little bit later in the program. I came up with a great invention. I live in Massachusetts, as I mentioned previously. We're going through a drought. It rains, but now it's not enough rain because we went through a drought for so long. And all the lawns are turning brown. Brown's a nice color. I don't mind it. But for some reason, people are obsessed with green grass. I don't know. I don't get it. But it's got to be green. It's got to be green. And there's just no possible way. There's no water to water the lawn. And if there is, then you're a schmuck for wasting water on your lawn. So here's my invention. Some type of biodegradable, pet-friendly, green grass paint. You hire somebody to come by with a spray machine, and you spray the grass that's turned brown, and it paints the grass green. It's not toxic paint. A dog can lick it, and it'll be just fine. Or keep your dog off the freaking grass. How about that idea? But still, you don't want pesticides in it, and you don't want anything that's poisonous to any living creature, not even birds or worms. It's just it's like a vegetable dye or something like that, and I don't know how safe that is. That's my invention, Ron's Green Painted Grass. Now, I don't think there's anything like it. Every time I come up with an idea, I find out somebody else already did it, and I just wasn't aware of it. And the reason I wasn't aware of it, because I'm sick as hell with that stupid Google machine. I mean, my life surrounds that stupid Google machine. I use it for everything, and I hate myself for doing it. I don't want to touch the Google machine. I don't want to be that well-informed about misinformation. I don't want to be marketed 24 hours a day on purpose because I went to the damn thing. I don't want to Google this. I just want to imagine that I came up with this on my own, and maybe I did. Would you like to invest in my idea? I'm not going to do it because it's a stupid idea. Because I don't care if my lawn is green or not. I seriously don't. I think green and brown are fine combinations. Complement each other. They're both earth tones in a way. So no, you know, I'm not interested. But I came up with the idea. I need to be paid for the concept. If you want to go in it on it with me, and we have to go through testing and samplings and research and all that kind of thing and lab tests. I know it's really a pain in the ass, but that's what we have to do. I'm not paying for that crap. I mean, I came up with the idea. Why should I pay for it? So if you're into it, you can email me. It's Ron Van Dam Show, RONVANDAM Show at gmail.com. I don't know. You interested? Okay. I had other ideas, and they all fell through, not because they weren't great ideas, because I'm so damn lazy I don't follow through on anything. But I don't have to, because I'm over 23 years old. You see, I'm past my prime of 19 to 23, so it doesn't matter anymore. I'm not learning to do anything anymore. Ron, well, you could go to school and you could learn stuff. Why? What? For what? For what? Why? What? Well, maybe you can get a job in it. Shut up. Get a job in it. When I went to the supermarket, it wasn't yesterday, it was a previous day. It was in the middle of the day. And I felt bad for somebody. And I don't know why I feel bad for people, because I don't have time for that. There was a Japanese fellow, probably in his 40s or something. And he was standing in the corner in the supermarket behind a counter, and he was rolling sushi. He was the supermarket sushi chef. And I said to myself, oh my God, here is an authentic sushi maker. The best he could do is get a job in a supermarket rolling supermarket sushi. I'm so sorry. Your parents must be devastated. Now, if you're working in a sushi restaurant, fine. More power to you. As a matter of fact, I love you. Thank you for your service. But in a supermarket, standing behind the deli counter, rolling supermarket sushi, which I don't believe you're supposed to eat by penalty of law. I think Roger Stone had supermarket sushi, and look what happened to him. Political joke, didn't work. I felt sorry for this guy. But then I figured, I can't feel sorry for everybody, so I'll feel sorry for nobody. And besides, 79 cents a pound for fresh peppers. I got better things to do with my life. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then my guest is going to join us. I think that'll be fun. Maybe my guest will join me. I have no idea. I haven't heard from my guest just yet. Maybe here. Don't know. My God, huh? You like water? Yeah, me too. I'm going to have some. In the meantime, you probably need some help around the house. Here's an idea that's inexpensive and quite helpful.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook. Naked.
Dr. Michael Awad joins us now. He's a fellowship-trained sleep surgeon and chief of sleep surgery at Northwestern Medicine. Yeah, sleep's a big thing. It always has been. And is it your understanding that people are maybe having some more trouble sleeping these days, being worried about various things?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right, Ron. I mean, sleep is a huge thing. It's actually a place we should be spending a third of our lives, but a lot of us aren't doing that. And in fact, during this, these unprecedented times, we're finding those disruptions to be a little bit more frequent. and we're hearing some new and uncommon complaints during this period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a problem. From my knowledge, I mean, I'm in the second part of life here, and I sleep less and less. When I was a kid, I didn't want to get out of bed. Now I can't fall asleep, or I can't stay asleep. It's kind of like the opposite. Is that fairly natural when you get older to have a little more sleep deprivation based on getting up in the middle of the night to do you know what? I mean, you know, is that a natural thing? Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, there is some degree of normalcy to it, that as we get older, sleep becomes a little bit more disrupted, or in other words, fragmented. Mm-hmm. And we also require a little bit less sleep as we get older. So for the average American adult, we're advocating for 8 to 9 hours of sleep on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. But as you get above 65, that number comes somewhere in the vicinity of about 7 hours. So it comes down a little bit.
Mm.
And as you mentioned, there's a lot of things that as we get a little bit older tend to keep us up at night, or tend to wake us up.
Mm-hmm.
And so in particular, you know, one of the ones you mentioned is getting up to use the bathroom, which is a common one. And that's one that you can often find a lot of help with. In particular, you know, so I recommend speaking to your healthcare practitioner if that's a particular one that's disrupting your sleep. Because that's often one that we can actually help.
Okay. Yeah, it's I know, we all know that getting a good amount of sleep, or the proper amount of sleep, certainly improves your immune system, which is really the target until they come up with something to stop this thing, is to keep your immune system strong. So sleep is important. There's no question about it.
Absolutely. I mean, at this time, especially, you know, with a virus that we still know so little about by relative terms, it's really important to do the things that we can to control what we have control over. And one of those things is boosting our immune system, like you mentioned. And so you can really do dual duty here. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you get enough sleep, your immune system is optimized. You know, your pro-inflammatory cells, those things that are beneficial for fighting off infection, the antibodies that we need in order to fight off infections, are at their strongest and highest levels, so it's important to get enough sleep. Conversely, exercise can help us to boost the immune system, but it actually affects sleep too, in a good way. It's important to build up enough what we call sleep drive or sleep pressure. What does that mean? Well, during the day, we build up, you know, by using our energy, we build up what's called a sleep pressure. And over the course of the day, that sleep pressure increases until finally it's time to actually go to settle down and go to sleep.
Yeah.
And if you've not built up enough sleep pressure by exerting enough energy during the day, it can become difficult to fall asleep.
Yeah.
So not only is exercise going to help you boost your immune system, it's going to help you to sleep better later in the night. And that in itself is going to help, you know, do double duty to boost that immune system and keep you healthy during these times.
Very good. Yeah, during that stay-at-home thing, a lot of people weren't exercising their brains or their bodies much. Just, you know, staying at home, that didn't help. But I think we're on a different path now. Let me just clarify and tell me if you agree. There are two kinds of sleep problems. There are sleep problems that are caused by a physical problem, respiratory, whatever the case may be. And there are then there are sleep habits where you're not setting up your bedroom well enough in order to be conducive. It can be serious if you don't get tested for certain sleep problems. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the big one that I think you're referring to is what's called sleep apnea.
Right.
And sleep apnea is primarily an anatomical issue. It's a developmental issue, in a sense. That's also partly genetic and also partly related to our lifestyle in terms of, you know, weight. But sleep apnea is a serious problem. What is it? Well, it's actually a condition where we repetitively stop breathing during sleep. And when we test patients, sometimes we see that they stop breathing as many as 100 times per hour.
Whoa.
I mean, just take that in, almost twice a minute.
That's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good.
And in fact, a lot of these people are completely unaware of it. We know that sleep apnea affects about 20% of the population, and four in every five people who have sleep apnea are actually undiagnosed, so they have no idea.
Right. Well,
you'll ask me, I mean, how should I know, right?
Well, I know how you know. You get married. They'll tell you.
Exactly. You nailed it. You nailed it. Somebody will definitely tell you. So snoring is a very common one, and people often ask, well, you know, snoring can be normal, right? Yes, it can be, but more often than not, snoring is a sign of sleep apnea.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you'll have it, but it can be a sign.
Right.
70% of people who snore are likely to have or develop sleep apnea based on the best evidence that we have today.
Sure.
So that's a big one. And it's a serious one because it can have a lot of long-term health impacts. It can affect, you know, your cardiovascular system. It can affect your brain function. And it can definitely increase the risk of motor vehicle accidents.
Okay. That's one end of it. And your physician would be able to certainly give you a sleep lab test, which is quite easy. I've done that a few times. It's kind of interesting.
Absolutely.
So there are, you know, that's something that can be handled. The other side is just our daily habits. I mean, you know, computer screens, watching the news late at night. I mean, we do a lot of stuff to kind of prevent ourselves from sleeping well, really, when you think about it.
I mean, you nailed it. And especially these days, we are really throwing off our regular habits. Most of us, maybe we're used to kind of getting up in the morning, going to work, coming back later at night, dinner after we get home from work, and then we maybe settle down with the program and kind of start to have a wind down. But really now we're in this sort of middle zone where right from the time we get up until the time we go to sleep, maybe we don't even change out of our, you know, out of our pajamas, right?
That's right.
Doing all the same things kind of over and over.
Yeah. Well, Northwestern Medicine, they're like on top of this. They do studies all the time, and they know their stuff. So how can people get more information about this?
Absolutely. Well, I recommend definitely heading to the Northwestern Medicine website. If you want to learn more about me and what I do, you can look me up there. It's Dr. Michael Awad, that's A-W-A-D, on the Northwestern Medicine website. And we have a leading sleep department here with a fantastic team that's able to look after a wide range of sleep disturbances.
Excellent. Let me ask you one more quick question. If I go to bed like at 10 at night, when should I exercise? Should I exercise at night to make myself a little more exhausted? I mean, you don't want to do it just before you go to bed, or do you? Yeah.
That's a great question. So generally, exercise within 3 to 4 hours of bed may be disruptive. It's different for every person, but generally try to avoid exercise within 3 to 4 hours of bed.
Okay.
In a perfect world, you'll be able to exercise earlier in the day, before 5 p.m.
Right. Okay. Doctor, pleasure. Thank you so much for the information. Again, the website is NM, is it?
NM.org, yeah, and you're going to want to look up, Dr. Michael Awad there to learn a little bit more.
Great, and that's AWAD, Dr. Michael Awad. Thank you again for your time. Interesting. Thank you so much.
You have been wonderful today, as usual. I'll be back on Monday with a brand new show. I hope you join me then. You know the rules. Show up. Click on me, will you please? Go on. Click on me. I'll make it sound sexual. Go on, click on me. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.